So are the law.
Okay, thanks. If you'd all like to come a little bit closer. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jaya Gopi Janavala Bhagirajani.
Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivraja Pachaya Namaste Parisate Shimala Visvai Grishu Vaisi Bhaktivinoda Sama Shri Prabhupada
Jaya.
Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivraja Pachaya Astuta Rastata Shri Shimala Divine Grishu Bhakti Saranda Sai Sarva Thakura Maharaj Ki
Jaya.
Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrindi Ki
Jaya.
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Gaurava Radha Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Ki
Jai.
Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Shamukunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki
Jai.
Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki
Jai.
Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki
Jai.
Jagannath Puri Dham Ki
Jai.
Ganga Devi Jamuna Devi Ki
Jai.
Bhakti Devi Ki
Jai.
Tulsi Maharani Ki
Jai.
All glories to the Samudra
Krishna.
All glories to the Samudra
Krishna.
All glories to the amazing assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru Gaurava. So we are reading from Canto 5, Chapter 10, Text 11. Jivan,
Mritatvam,
Niyamena,
Rajan,
Adyantavad, Adyantavad, Yad, Vikritasya, Dristam, Sva, Swamya, Bhavo, Dhruva, Idya, Yatra, Tarhi, Uchyate, So, Vidhikritya, Yogaha. So, do you do the repeating, repetition transit?
Just do the word, because there's no word for it.
What's that for?
Just do the, you know, the translation, because there's no word for us to repeat.
Okay. I'll just say the verse and then the translation. The word, do I do word for word?
Either way.
So word for word, very interesting.
Okay.
I'll say. Jivan mritatvam niyamena rajan adyantavadyad vikritasya dristam svasvamya bhava dhruvaiti yatra tarhi uchyate savidhikritya yogaha. Jivat mritatvam, the quality of being dead while living. Niyamena, by the laws of nature. Rajan, O king. Adyantavad, everything material has a beginning and an end. Yet, because, vikritasya, of things that are transformed, such as the body. Dristam is seen. Sva svamya bhavaha, the condition of servanthood and mastership. Dhruvaha, unchangeable. Idya, O you who are worshipped. Yatra, wherein, tarhi, then, uchyate, it is said, also, that vidhi kritya yogaha, fitness of order and duty. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. My dear King, you have unnecessarily accused me of being dead, though alive. In this regard, I can only say that this is the case everywhere, because everything material has its beginning and end. As far as you're thinking that you are the king and master, and are thus trying to order me, this is also incorrect, because these positions are temporary. Today you are a king, and I am your servant, but tomorrow the position may be changed. and you may be my servant and I your master. These are temporary circumstances created by providence. Purple. The bodily conception is the basic principle of suffering and material existence. In Kali Yuga especially, people are so uneducated that they cannot even understand that the body is changing at every moment and that the ultimate change is called death. In this life, one may be a king, and in the next life, one may be a dog, according to karma. The spirit soul is in a deep slumber caused by the force of material nature. He is put in one type of condition and again changed into another type. Without self-realization and knowledge, conditional life continues and one falsely claims himself a king, a servant, a cat, or a dog. These are simply different transformations brought about by the supreme arrangement. One should not be misled by such temporary bodily conceptions. Actually, no one is master within the material world, for everyone is under the control of material nature, which is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the ultimate master. As explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arasava Vritya. The only master is Krishna, and everyone else is his servant. Forgetfulness of our relationship with the Supreme Lord brings about our suffering in the material world. Excuse me. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vashtyatya Deshitarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, good morning.
Good morning.
I would like to ask for your permission to speak something in Gali, especially Adi Purush Prabhu. Your presence is for your...
Use the microphone as much as possible. There are people getting the screen. It works best.
So I'm very grateful to be here. An honor to be invited to speak. So... So with this verse, basically what is happening as you've been probably reading up throughout the verses as they go along is that Jet Bharat is now, he is acting as though mute and kind of just an idiot. But the king, one of the palanquin bearers, wasn't being competent, so they went out and searched for another one. And they found Jet Bharat, and they're like, you look young, you look strong, you need to join our team. And so what's happening is that he's like, okay, I will do this work, and he's walking along the road, but he's avoiding the ants because he doesn't want to step on them. He's become so sensitive. And so the palanquin is rocking back and forth, and the king, what is this? And he gets off, and he tries, I think, if you read the text, he's pretty diplomatic the first time. He's like, what are, my dear servant, why are you doing this? And but then he gets angry, and all the palanquin bearers are like, it's not us, it's really this one over here. He's causing all the trouble. And so King Ruhuvana speaks to Jad Bharat, and he's really, and it's in the text, it really talks about how he's coming from a place of passion, from the mode of passion, mode of ignorance, which is quite significant, because in this verse, Srila Prabhupada, and Jad Bharat speaks in saying that actually you're just being controlled by so many other things. You think you're my master. But Srila Prabhupada says here, so I thought it was quite significant to say that Jad Bharat's point is that you are not the master here, and neither am I. And there's two reasons why, I mean, two main umbrella reasons why actually you're not the master. And so, teasing this out of the purport, Prabhupada says, actually no one is a master within the material world, for everyone is under the control of material nature, which is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, in the last six chapters of the Gita, Lord Krishna really talks about the modes of nature. And they're so practical, actually, the modes of nature. And reading those verses is really profound, because it's realizing everything is under the material nature, from the times of day, to what we're eating, to what we're wearing, to how we're talking, to how we're anything. Anything can be classified as the mode of ignorance, the mode of passion, and the mode of goodness. And it's like they're always battling with each other. It's always mixes of things. And I thought it was quite interesting when I was in Mayapur one year, I believe somebody asked Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, you know, why are there 8,400,000 species of life? He said, actually, it's because of all the combinations of the modes of nature. If you combine them that much, it's how many millions of forms of life that you get. And to the degrees of this much goodness, this much ignorance, this much passion, all the various combinations of the modes of nature combined that create all these species of life. And it's just different degrees. How much am I in the mode of goodness? How much am I in the mode of ignorance? So this is one aspect, that we're just being dictated by the material modes. The second point that Prabhupada talks about is that the spirit soul is in a deep slumber caused by the force of material nature. He's put in one type of condition and again changed into another type. So in this regard, another aspect is our conditioning. It's just, where am I born? How am I raised? What body am I in? It's just, I didn't even choose my own name. I certainly didn't choose my parents. I didn't choose my family. I didn't choose where I was born and where I'd be raised. And as a child, even if you are born and you think you have some sense of choice, you really don't. You're just shuttled from one place to the next. You just, it's just whatever your circumstances are, that affects so much of development and growth throughout the rest of your life. So it's so much of conditioning, actually. And what to speak of past lives, even in this life. There's so much that goes on from my cultural frame of reference and my everything. So I just like to ask you, kind of, I'll go through these different things. When in your life, when do you feel in your life that you feel you're controlled by tamas, or the mode of ignorance? When you feel controlled by it, almost like you're helpless.
Towards the evenings.
Towards the evenings. Okay, what happens for you when towards the evenings with tamas?
It just gets into this whole losing control of being able to do things in a focused way.
Okay, you lose your focus, you lose your sense of, like, clarity. Okay? Cloudiness.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyone else? tamas, when you lose control.
Wanting to cause harm to others.
Wanting to cause harm to others.
Yes.
Interesting. And when would that be a major, like, when does that get, you get affected by that desire?
Envy.
Like at what time of, like what time of day or what time of year, or just when do you feel overcome by that desire to cause harm to others?
When someone excels.
When someone what?
Excels.
When someone excels you? Okay.
Envy.
Okay. A certain envy. Okay. Kind of a lower consciousness. You feel almost controlled by it. Like, I have no control over this envy. It's just there. Anyone else when you're controlled by tamas or the mode of ignorance?
Right. Always feeling that I'm the best, I'm the greatest, I'm doing everything.
Okay. In what situation do you feel like you're controlled by that in terms of the mode of ignorance?
I'm really not able to do anything, but like I'm always having this feeling that I'm the best and I can do everything, whereas in reality I'm not really able to do much.
Okay, kind of like you find your potential doesn't actually meet up with what you think
exactly.
You can do. Okay. Krishna Kripa Prabhu, you had?
Sometimes you become angry when things don't work out, you know.
Okay. I would say that anger is probably more in the mode of passion and more rajas, you know, like, so I can also ask that to you, when do you feel you're controlled by rajas? Like, almost like it's out of your control. I can't do anything. Like, it's just, I'm at the mercy of rajas. You said you felt angry when something doesn't go your way.
Yeah, when material energy doesn't always do what you want it to.
Yes, it doesn't do what you want it to. Case in point, I was at the post office yesterday. Oh my gosh. It was so much anger, and I was like, but there's nothing I can do about this. But I was so angry. It was just like waiting for over an hour in different lines for just to get this tiny little thing that wasn't even like... And it was just like, boy, and it was just like, oh, I felt like controlled by anger, you know, and like my voice comes out harsher than I had even wanted to, but it's like, I'm controlled by it. I can't even help it, right? Anyone else? Rajas, mode of passion?
I'd love you. You've been speaking 2 minutes about the same point here. Please move on to the next.
Nice. Thank you for that nice demonstration of mode of passion. Yeah, it's really, it's that, like, kind of like, oh, is this, what's going to happen now? Like, kind of this impatience. So then, when have you felt controlled by the mode of goodness, by sattva? Controlled by the mode of goodness. Because we're still under that control. I was thinking, I was riding the subway this morning, and sometimes when I go to work, it's a little later in the day, like 8:30, when it's 8:30, it gets to be a madhouse in the subway stations, and there can be yelling, and there can just be, you know, whatever it is. But when it's earlier in the day, I feel that almost there's this control of the mode of goodness that people are quiet, and there's a sense of, like, don't talk loudly, like, don't do that, that's not, like, appropriate, like, don't start yelling, everyone's just going to be like, whatever. It's almost like being controlled by the mode of goodness, like, I almost can't help it, it's like, it's abrasive to hear this yelling, or, whereas, you know, midnight, 11 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, that's like in the mode of ignorance / mode of passion. If you're yelling and screaming, everyone's just like, whatever, this is just how it is at this time of day. And it's like you're just controlled by whatever. But when it becomes earlier in the day, it's like being controlled by that. It's just this goodness, you know? Ganesham told me, actually, that they play classical music at Penn Station, and it actually keeps away the homeless and kind of bums and that kind of strange energy by playing classical music. So it's almost like this mode of goodness is controlling, is like permeating the space. So these different modes of nature, they're always interacting with each other. We're always under the control of one or the other. And as devotees of Krishna, it's kind of like, I think we tend to jump over that principle that all of us are under the control, you know, and that we can actually use them in the service of Krishna. But at the end of the day, we're never going to be freed from them until we leave this world. It's just the fact of the matter of being here. So that's this first point of the different modes of nature. And then the second point is, you know, this being controlled by conditioning and identity. So kind of being born and raised a certain way. Kind of an example that first came to mind was, you know, in the 1929 stock market crash, there was a huge wave of suicides. Because so many of these stockbrokers, they invested so much of their lives and their identity and their money into this institution of the stock market, finances, that when it was taken away, they had nothing. They had no identity, actually, and they had no source of pride or connection, anything like that. And so they're like, well, if my material identity ends, then I have to end my material life. And so they took their own lives. But it's interesting because in this verse, Jodh Bharat is saying that these are temporary circumstances created by providence. And actually, the material modes are always in fluctuation. It's temporary. We're going to be in a mode of goodness one day, and we're feeling amazing, and then a mode of ignorance, and feeling sticky and tired. You know, they're always in fluctuation. Our conditioning is always in fluctuation. I could be making money from this job, then I change my job. And it just constantly, it's constantly changing. Another example of this was that, you know, I only realized how American I was until I went to India, and that I lived in Mayapur I was away from America for about 10 months, so I traveled in Europe and I was in India, and I lived in Mayapur for 8 months, in this village in West Bengal, and, you know, just wearing a sari every day, and just, you know, all of that. And so whenever I would go to this Madhu's Bakery, which is this little cafe in downtown Mayapur, and whenever I heard like a lady laughing loudly, I just thought, okay, she's American. She's got to be American. And talking, even how I talk loudly, like people can hear me talk and laughing and just like, just unabashedly, like kind of, you know, let's do this. I realized it was very American. Like, I didn't really encounter, maybe Australians or something, but it's so much of my conditioning. It's just very much like I was born and raised in this country. And it was a very powerful experience when I came back from India. It was a profound experience of culture shock, because I would look around here in New York City when I came back to New York, and I began to really see. When I looked around, I saw that actually these people were like, I especially noticed it through the fashion. It's not superficial, but it was like somehow what these people in America are wearing. They think this is the fashion, this is what's beautiful, this is what's cool. But it's not universal. When I was in India, I would look at the fact, this is what they're wearing, what they think is beautiful, what they think is cool, what is attractive. And everybody has different fashions, and they're always changing, and always moving and shifting. And so, it was this real, and I had this incredible experience of taking a step back and realizing these people, we're not American, and Indians are not Indian, and I'm not American or, you know, culturally, like a Hare Krishna. It wasn't any of that. I felt this distance, like I could see below the surface layer. And it was a very special experience of realizing that nobody is what they think they are or who I think I am. So this is our dilemma is that we're just so deeply entrenched in these material modes and in our conditioning. So these two aspects of our just past conditioning of country, family, body, everything. So then what is our, what could you say, like, solution, or what is our way out of this? And it's almost like taking, if you have a splinter in your hand, and to take another splinter to get it out. So we have this splinter in our hand, which is that I have all this conditioning of the modes, and it's like it hurts to be under the control of someone else or something else. And yes. This, and I especially wanted to point out this, that Jad Bharat is saying, my dear king, you have unnecessarily accused me of being dead though alive. So this jiva mrutatvam, which is very interesting. When the more we're under the control of these modes and our conditioning, it's as if we're dead though alive. Because King Rahugana is actually accusing Jad Bharat of being dead though alive. You're not following instructions, you're not actually being a good palanquin carrier. Are you dead, even though you're walking around? But Jad Bharat is turning it back on to him and says, you're accusing me of being dead though alive. And Jad Bharat doesn't say it directly, but it's almost like he's implying the fact that actually the king seems to be dead though alive. Because the king also was controlled by the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance when he was, you know, really... really cursing out Jad Bharat. So the text says that, you know, he was under the control of mode of passion, mode of ignorance. Later on in the text, the king comes around. He comes to realize you are a wise Satan soul. And that just shows that it wasn't like the king's evil or that he's intrinsically bad. He was under the control of the modes. And similarly, when we're in this world, the more we're under the control of these modes, the more it can feel like we're dead, even though we're alive. And there's this hollow experience of just going through life without any control. We're not actually using our free will. We're just being shifted around. So what is the process of waking up that free will, the more I have a choice? What, I don't want to just be controlled. I want to actually have a choice. And so you'll notice that with the different modes, tamas, rajas, and sattva, that the higher we go up these modes, the more we actually have more an experience of control within them. So they kind of get us in touch with our higher self. So this principle of having these modes, so as I was sharing earlier about this splinter of being controlled, and as though having no control and no freedom, to use those same things, such as our identity, such as the modes, to get us out of this material world, to get that splinter out. So, for example, this is about the more we get attached with the identity, the more there is the suffering, the more it can possibly just go away. We never know if it's going to come or go. But the principle is about owning the role, but to not get attached to it. So owning the role, but and then, so you need to own it. It really needs to be an ownership. And as well as the service that goes along with it. The example of somebody who owned the role but was willing to let it go without being attached to it, for example, is Pariksit Maharaj, when he knew he was going to die. He just took off his robes, took off his crown, he laid them aside. He wasn't attached to it. And he just went to go here from Shukadeva Goswami, just because he just knows, I'm not really a king. That was my service. It was my service, and I will do everything in my power to fulfill my service. But if it's no longer my service, then I'll simply let it, put it aside. Of course, this is an example, and it's not so easy for us. But the principle is there. There's an example of somebody who took on the role for the sake of service is Lord Chaitanya himself, which is that he saw, if I'm really going to affect people, I need to take sannyas. Even at the expense of so many of my loved ones, everyone I love around me, I need to take on this role. I need to wear these clothes, I need to shave my head. And it seems like, it's so superficial. Why do you need to have this role? But the fact is, to be in the spiritual world, that's how people relate. It's going to be the medium through which they can connect. So that is a role that he took on, and he didn't shirk it throughout his whole, the rest of his life. He maintained his vows and that role of a sannyasi. So a verse that came to mind when I was thinking about this was that there's verse 5.5.18. It's very famous. I don't know all the Sanskrit, but it says, what is it? Is it Guru Nasasya Najani Sasasya? Something like that. And the translation is, one who cannot deliver his dependents from the path of repeated birth and death should never become a spiritual master, a father, a husband, a mother, or a worshipable demigod. So what I find is profound about this verse is that these are roles. Spiritual master, a mother, a father. But they're so important. There's a divine purpose to these roles. They're about if you're responsible and you have dependents, then you need to own that role and fully live it. So if I'm a mother, that is my divine role, is to be there for my child and to actually connect them with a higher purpose in life. But it also could just mean packing them a lunch and seeing them to school every day and making sure they're fed and they go to sleep. That's also all a part of them being connected to the Lord. There's no way to... They need to still live in this world. And as a mother, that would be my divine duty. And the same goes for the other roles mentioned in this verse, such as a spiritual master or a father or a husband. So there's the role, but they're being done in a divine way. But at the end of the day, it's about not being attached to the role. So I think it's very, in when I did the Mayapur Academy, which is studying deity worship, it was very powerful when we learned the mantra about not identity. It was called, there's six levels of purity. And to go onto the altar, you need to kind of observe all those levels of purity. And before even entering the altar, we need to do, you need to purify your body, you need to purify the paraphernalia, you need to purify different things, and then you need to purify your mind. So it's called Buddha Shuddhi. So this Buddha Shuddhi is, I need to cleanse myself of any designations that I think I have, because they're just getting in the way, they can be unclean. Actually, to keep me from really understanding what is my essential identity. Actually, what is my true identity? The cleanest, brightest identity. So this verse is very beautiful. Naham vipra na cha narpatir na pivaisya na shudra Naham vani na cha grihapatir na vanasta yativa Kintu pradyan kila paramananda purna vritavde Gopi bhartur kamalayo dasa dasa nudasaha. So this verse is really saying that I am not a vaishya, not a shudra. I don't, any of these varnas, this is not, I'm not a grahasta, I'm not vanaprast, sannyasi. I'm cleansing myself. I'm not any of these things. I'm cleansing myself of these designations. But, you know, what is my truest identity? And in the verse it says, Gopi Bhartur Kamalaya Das Dasam Das. So, I am the servant of the servant of the Lord of the Gopis. And so, the fact is that we all have to serve someone in this world. So, it could be a boss, it could be a child, it could be Srila Prabhupada, it could be our spiritual master. Whoever it is, it's just our nature, it's just a fact. Jivara Swarupoi Krishnara Nitya Das. So, at our essence, we're this eternal servant of Krishna, but that still manifests anyway, because it's our dharma, it's our nature. So, but we don't want to let it be, you know, to this, I was thinking of this beautiful song, Bhaja Hure Mana, that this, you know, that we don't want to serve this bifale sevino kripana durajana, this wicked and miserly men. It's like Govinda Das is saying, I don't want to serve these wicked and miserly men. It's just going to lead me to very painful places. And when Prabhupada comments on this song, he says, these people cannot protect me, they cannot protect me. And so let our service be towards the one who is always shining with brilliance. So this is this Kintu Prodhanakila Paramananda Purnamrita verse. It's so beautiful that actually this it's described that Krishna is brilliantly shining. So he's in our hearts and he's always there, that we can serve him. And that is the goal of our hearts and our lives, is to purify ourselves of the designations and to really serve the Lord with all of our hearts, who we will get to see shortly. So we'll take, is there time for one question, Prabhu?
Yeah, this watch is behind.
What's that?
This watch is behind.
Oh, it's behind. Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Do I end it somehow? Oh, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Jai.
Jai. Jai.